Chapter 12. But Joe was readier with his definition than I had expected, and completely stopped me by arguing circularly, and answering with a fixed look, her. And I and a mastermind, Joe resumed, when he had unfixed his look, and got back to his whisker. And last of all, Pip and this, I want to say very serious to you, old chap, I see so much in my poor mother, of a woman drudging and slaving and breaking her honest heart, and never getting no peace in her mortal days, that I'm dead afeard of going wrong in the way of not doing what's right by a woman, and I'd fur rather of the two, go wrong the t'other way, and be a little ill-convenienced myself. I wish it was only me that got put out, Pip. I wish there weren't no tickler for you, old chap. I wish I could take it all on myself. But this is the up and down and straight on it, Pip, and I hope you'll overlook shortcomings. Young as I was, I believe that I dated a new admiration of Joe from that night. We were equals afterwards, as we had been before. But, afterwards at quiet times, when I sat looking at Joe and thinking about him, I had a new sensation of feeling conscious that I was looking up to Joe in my heart. However, said Joe, rising to replenish the fire, here's the Dutch clock a-working himself up to being equal to strike 8 of 'em, and she's not come home yet. I hope Uncle Public Hook's mare mayn't have set a forefoot on a piece o' ice, and gone down. Mrs. Joe made occasional trips with Uncle Public Hook on market days, to assist him in buying such household stuffs and goods as required a woman's judgment, Uncle Public Hook being a bachelor and reposing no confidences in his domestic servant. This was market day, and Mrs. Joe was out on one of these expeditions. Joe made the fire, and swept the hearth, and then we went to the door, to listen for the chaise cart. It was a dry, cold night, and the wind blew keenly, and the frost was white and hard. A man would die tonight of lying out on the marshes, I thought. And then I looked at the stars, and considered how awful it would be for a man to turn his face up to them as he froze to death, and see no help or pity in all the glittering multitude. Here comes the mare, said Joe, ringing like a peal of bells. The sound of her iron shoes upon the hard road was quite musical, as she came along at a much brisker trot than usual. We got a chair out, ready for Mrs. Joe's alighting, and stirred up the fire, that they might see a bright window, and took a final survey of the kitchen, that nothing might be out of its place. When we had completed these preparations, they drove up, wrapped to the eyes. Mrs. Joe was soon landed, and Uncle Public Hook was soon down too, covering the mare with a cloth, and we were soon all in the kitchen, carrying so much cold air in with us, that it seemed to drive all the heat out of the fire. Now, said Mrs. Joe, unwrapping herself with haste and excitement, and throwing her bonnet back on her shoulders, where it hung by the strings, if this boy ain't grateful this night, he never will be. I looked as grateful as any boy possibly could, who was wholly uninformed, why he ought to assume that expression. It's only to be hoped, said my sister, that he won't be pompied. But I have my fears. She ain't in that line, Mum, said Mr. Public Hook. She knows better. She? I looked at Joe, making the motion with my lips and eyebrows. She? Joe looked at me, making the motion with his lips and eyebrows. She? My sister catching him in the act, he drew the back of his hand across his nose with his usual conciliatory air on such occasions, and looked at her. Well? Said my sister, in her snappish way. What are you staring at? Is the house afire? Which some individual, Joe politely hinted, mentioned she. And she is a she, I suppose? Said my sister, unless you call Miss Havisham a he, and I doubt if even you'll go so far as that. Miss Havisham, uptown? Said Joe. Is there any Miss Havisham downtown? Returned my sister. She wants this boy to go and play there, and of course he's going, and he had better play there, said my sister, shaking her head at me as an encouragement to be extremely light and sportive, or I'll work him. I had heard of Miss Havisham Uptown everybody for miles round, had heard of Miss Havisham Uptown as an immensely rich and grim lady who lived in a large and dismal house barricaded against robbers, and who led a life of seclusion. Well, to be sure, said Joe, astounded. I wonder how she come to know Pip. Noodle, cried my sister. Who said she knew him? Which some individual, Joe again politely hinted, mentioned that she wanted him to go and play there. And couldn't she ask Uncle Public Hook, if he knew of a boy, to go and play there? Isn't it just barely possible that Uncle Public Hook may be a tenant of hers, and that he may sometimes, we won't say quarterly or half yearly, for that would be requiring too much of you, but sometimes go there to pay his rent? And couldn't she then ask Uncle Public Hook, if he knew of a boy, to go and play there? And couldn't Uncle Public Hook, being always considerate and thoughtful for us, though you may not think it, Joseph, in a tone of the deepest reproach, as if he were the most callous of nephews, then mention this boy, standing prancing here, which I solemnly declare I was not doing, that I have forever been a willing slave to? Good again, cried Uncle Public Hook. Well put. Prettily pointed. Good indeed. Now, Joseph, you know the case. No, Joseph, said my sister, still in a reproachful manner, while Joe apologetically drew the back of his hand across and across his nose, you do not yet, though you may not think it, know the case. You may consider that you do, but you do not, Joseph. For you do not know that Uncle Public Hook, being sensible that for anything we can tell, this boy's fortune may be made by his going to Miss Havisham's, has offered to take him into town tonight in his own chaise cart, and to keep him tonight, and to take him with his own hands to Miss Havisham's tomorrow morning. And Lord mussy me, cried my sister, casting off her bonnet in sudden desperation, here I stand talking to mere mooncoofs, with Uncle Public Hook waiting, and the mare catching cold at the door, and the boy grimed with crock and dirt from the hair of his head to the sole of his foot. With that, she pounced upon me, like an eagle on a lamb, and my face was squeezed into wooden bowls in sinks, and my head was put under taps of water butts, and I was soaked, and kneaded, and toweled, and thumped, and harrowed, and rasped, until I really was quite beside myself. I may here remark that I suppose myself to be better acquainted than any living authority with the ridgy effect of a wedding ring, passing unsympathetically over the human countenance. When my ablutions were completed, I was put into clean linen of the stiffest character, like a young penitent into sackcloth, and was trussed up in my tightest and fearfulest suit. I was then delivered over to Mr. Public Hook, who formally received me, as if he were the sheriff, and who let off upon me the speech that I knew he had been dying to make all along. Boy, be forever grateful to all friends, but especially unto them which brought you up by hand. Goodbye, Joe. God bless you, Pip, old chap. I had never parted from him before, and what with my feelings, and what with soap suds, I could at first see no stars from the chaise cart. But they twinkled out one by one, without throwing any light on the questions, why on earth I was going to play at Miss Havisham's, and what on earth I was expected to play at. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.